This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are off and running on a Tuesday evening alongside Matt Humans. I'm Tim Murray. Got a big show for you, a whole lot of U.S. Open preview, game three of the NBA Finals tomorrow night, plenty of baseball chatter. Mr. Humans, loaded up guest list tonight. I'm fired up for tonight.
We got a six-pack of guests on the show tonight because we're going to do a lot of U.S. Open previews. I just got off the phone with Indy Jeff Seeley, who's going to be on the show with us Friday night to talk about the first two rounds. And I wanted to get some of his thoughts on who he liked. I was firing some bets out here at the Circuit Book right before the show, playing a few long shots. And U.S. Open is going to be a good one, Tim, because it's going to be the toughest test in golf. Jeff, it's going to be brutally tough for these players.
Jeff Sherman will join us at 8 o'clock Eastern. Of course, you can follow him at Golf Odds. So he's got some thoughts on the U.S. Open and what the Westgate Superbook is seeing from behind the counter. Matt Grill, who we love to talk college football with, also big golf bettor from DraftKings Sportsbook. Matt, he will join us in hour number two. We will head live to Oakmont, Pennsylvania, and check in with the one and only Steve Sands in hour number three of the show. We'll talk some baseball with Adam Burke. Brian Edwards is going to give us some early thoughts on college football. And there you go, our six-pack, Matt. Saving the best for last. David Behrman joining us in the 10 o'clock Eastern hour.
So fired up for this show. Great guest. Anytime you have Steve Sands on your show, it's a top-notch show, too.
It's our guy. He loves the fire, and we'll get his thoughts. He is expecting what you said, a very challenging course. I believe the over-under for winning score yesterday at the Westgate Superbook was 268.5. Is that right?
So 270 would be par.
Is that right? Am I doing my math wrong? I think I'm doing my math wrong.
That's not right.
Yeah, that's not right.
I think 280 would be par.
Yeah, so 278.5. 278.5.
278.5. And yeah, I think the winning score is going to be 3, 4, 5 under, somewhere around there. But you're going to get a wide range of opinions on that. Some who think it's going to be the winner might be even par or even over par. So,
loaded up baseball card tonight as well. We've got our crew headed to Omaha, I believe, tomorrow. So we will be boots on the ground starting on Thursday as the College World Series, the final team to make it to Omaha, the Murray State Racers, punching their ticket last night, beating the Duke Blue Devils. And then, by the way, the Duke coach today said, all right, I'm out. I'm going to UVA. And some of the news there today. So we got a lot of baseball to get to, Matt. Let's go late night for our game of the night, as it was a fun one last night for some, not all. But let's get to it to get you ready for our biggest game of the night.
The lights are on and the stakes are high. It's the primetime game of the night.
Last night, Matt, it was the Padres and the Dodgers, 8-7. Ultimately, in extra innings, the Dodgers edge the San Diego Padres. Two in the 10th for the Dodgers, one for the Padres, and the Dodgers get the victory. And now, tonight, the Padres try to even up the series at one game apiece. Dylan Cease will take the hill for the San Diego Padres this evening at Petco Park. Right now, Matt, as we look at the market, Circa sits at -108 in favor of the San Diego Padres.
Yeah, it's basically a pick 'em. -108 Padres, -104 Dodgers, and you can find some different numbers out there in the market as well. But Padres generally just the slightest of favorites in this one tonight. I bet Padres +115 last night. And I don't know if it deserved a better fate or not, but they were sloppy, had a couple throwing errors that led to two runs. Manny Machado called out on strikes in the 10th inning on a pitch that was obviously a ball. But that's the way it goes. Dodgers, really, if you look at the two lineups, Dodgers have the stronger lineup. You know, 1 through 7, without a doubt, it's definitely stronger. And the pitching edge last night was supposed to be with Nick Pivetta and the Padres, but he had his second worst start of the season. How's Dylan Cease going to pitch tonight? You would think the pitching edge is with the Padres again tonight. Dylan Cease actually has made 13 starts. A little surprising, only 4 of those qualify as quality starts, 4 out of 13. But he's been a great strikeout pitcher as usual. 68 and two-thirds innings, 85 strikeouts. That's 11.1 Ks per nine. A whip, which is a little bit high at 1.31, and an ERA of 4.72. But he's had a couple really bad starts that I think inflate those numbers. He's capable of really quieting this Dodgers lineup tonight. I lean Padres again yet. I didn't play it. Thinking about playing the Padres tonight, but have not fired on this game yet. It's Lou Trevino is going to be the starting pitcher for the Dodgers, and this is going to be what's going to happen here, Tim. It's going to be kind of a bullpen game. I think I don't want to say a Johnny Holstaff game, but it's Lou Trevino's probably going to go two innings. He's pitched 10 innings the entire season and 9 appearances, but he's been effective. 1.16 whip, 1.74 ERA, and Lou Trevino is going to set up a bullpen game here for the Dodgers.
Any relation to two-time U.S. Open champion Lee Trevino?
I believe it's spelled differently, so I'm going to say no. I think there's one letter spelled differently, so I'm going to say no relation.
68 and 71, Lee Trevino, and probably most people know him more from his appearance in Happy Gilmore. So that will be a fun one late night tonight. Matt, coming up in just a little bit, we saw a weird and wacky game at Fenway Park last night as the Red Sox and Rays back at it here. Coming up in about 5 minutes, the Boston Red Sox around a -110-ish favorite against the Tampa Bay Rays. Lucas Giolito takes the hill. And also at 7:10 Eastern, Matt, we've got the New York Mets hosting the Washington Nationals. And much is to do about the lack of run support for Paul Skeens this year. Mackenzie Gore of the Washington Nationals could say the same. He has also received very limited run support. Last time out, the Nationals were able to score 2 runs in his final inning of work. He's just 3-5 on the year, Matt. He's got a 2.87 ERA. He is tops in the National League in strikeouts with 108, just 2 back of Garrett Crochet for the Major League lead. And if you're wondering, Mackenzie Gore over under 6.5 strikeouts tonight as he takes the hill against the New York Mets. He has gone over that number in his last 7 starts. So 7, 8, 9, 9, 7, 9, 6.5 -110 to the over for Mackenzie Gore, who is a slight dog tonight against the New York Mets at Citi Field. The Nationals around +130. Garrett Canning on the hill for the New York Mets.
Griffin Canning. Former LA Angels starter Griffin Canning against Mackenzie Gore, who is a former first-round pick by the Padres, yep. Right, out of North Carolina.
Part of the Juan Soto trade.
The Soto trade, yeah, no question. And Gore was a guy I thought probably had a bright future, but like you're saying, he's not getting a lot of run support. You can't judge pitchers by the win-loss column, win-loss records all the time. I wanted to mention that Lucas Giolito starting for the Red Sox tonight. You got to have a lot of courage to bet on this guy. I've watched him a couple times. He stinks right now. He's got an ERA of 6.42, a whip over 1.6. I would not be betting Giolito and the Red Sox.
A former National, drafted by the Nationals and traded to the Chicago White Sox once upon a time. So those games getting ready to get going here. We do have some games underway in Major League Baseball, Matt, as the Detroit Tigers up 1-0 right now on the Baltimore Orioles, Reds and Guardians. That one, top of the third inning in Cleveland. No score there as Andrew Abbott on the hill for the red-hot Cincinnati Reds. Reds have won 4 in a row. Sandy Alcantara, once upon a time, your NL Cy Young winner. He is not that anymore. Yeah. And scoreless right now between the Marlins and the Pirates. And Cubs and Phillies, this was a fun one last night. Cubs out to an early 1-0 lead on the Phillies. A busy
Yankees
busy
going
night.
With Max Fried tonight, which is going to be interesting. Yankees open this series in Kansas City. Max Fried a little bit shaky recently, but a big favorite. I actually wanted to give the underdog a look in this game, but couldn't quite get there tonight. Fried -195 here at Circa, -205, kind of the high in the market out there. But that was a candidate for a possible game of the night as well. Mm-hmm. Tim Murray pushed hard for the Washington Nationals.
I did.
But we end up going with the Dodgers-Padres game 2 of the series. You know, it was interesting last night. I'm watching the that game when I got home, and Oral Hershiser does the color commentary on the Dodgers TV broadcast. He's really good, you know. He's one of those guys who's insightful. You can learn some stuff about the game and listen to Hershiser talk. But he said, you know what's cool? He said, it's really cool to play in this atmosphere in San Diego where this rivalry has really taken off the last few years and the fans get into it. He said, this is one of the best atmospheres in baseball when the Dodgers and Padres get together now.
Have you been to a Dodgers-Padres game?
I have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have been to a couple Padre games, but never a Dodgers-Padres game. I need to get down to
Petco. Put that on your bucket list and check it off. This summer, you're going to have a couple opportunities probably to get to Dodgers-Padres.
Yeah. I'm going to head out to San Francisco next week and check out a day game there with the Giants. So looking forward to my first visit to AT&T Park later on this summer, next week. So we got a lot to get to. NBA Finals, Matt, game number three. More thoughts on that, certainly, as the show goes on. Loaded guest list, including Adam Burke joining us at the bottom, actually coming up on the other side of the break, not at the bottom of the hour, less than 5 minutes from now. But, Matt, you know it's always football season, and if you are itching to get your football fix, well, guess what, folks? Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. You get a full year for just $199 plus a free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum, a no-nonsense guide to reading the market, spotting sharp action, and making smarter NFL bets. Sign up now, get instant access to that daily email from Bill 80 with all our best bets from our hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access courtesy of our VSiN Watch app, and the NFL betting guide that Matt Eumanns will be part of. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. VSiN.com/subscribe. The promo code is book, B-O-O-K, VSIN.com/subscribe. So busy night of baseball ahead for all of you. Plenty of NBA preview and Matt Eumanns. The U.S. Open starts on Thursday just outside Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So a whole lot to get to over the next 4 hours. Loaded guest list, which starts on the other side of the break. Our own Adam Burke will jump on the show to help us handicap the MLB card tonight. That's Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. We're up and running. It is VSiN Primetime on a Tuesday night, live from the Circus Sportsbook.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is VSiN Primetime here on this Tuesday evening alongside Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray as we look up and we watch a catch in the corner of the Battle of Ohio, Cleveland and the Cincinnati Reds. And then I look down, Matt, and I see that my Washington Nationals have taken a 2-0 lead. Nathaniel Lowe, 2-run shot off of Mr. Canning. So a good start there for the Nationals. Let's continue the baseball chatter as we head to our progressive guest line and welcome in our own Adam Burke, managing editor of VSiN.com. And let's jump to a game that we contemplated as our game of the night. We ultimately decided on Padres-Angels, but still a pretty good one tonight. Padres-Dodgers. Yankees and Royals this evening. Max Fried takes the hill. Adam, you wrote this up for VSiN.com. So what jumps out to you about Yankees and Royals tonight?
Yeah, what's up, boys? Good to be with you here. So look, I mean, Noah Cameron's off to a great start. You know, his MLB career has been very strong so far, 5 starts, 0.85 ERA over 31 and two thirds. But he's not a guy that generates a lot of strikeouts, doesn't generate a lot of chase either. And, you know, against the Yankees, if you pitch to contact, that's probably going to be a problem for you. So I think today is the day where we see Noah Cameron's regression really hit. He's got a 148 batting average on balls in play against. League average is usually about 280, 285. 99.1% left on base percentage is not only ridiculous, but especially for a guy who doesn't strike anybody out, that's something I would expect to drop very, very, very quickly here. I played the Yankees first five team total over 2.5. I think there are other ways to attack this too. You could play Yankees first five run lines, stuff like that, but I think New York is the team that's going to finally get to this guy. Cameron's pull air percentage is 23.3%. That's in like the bottom 10% of the league. The Yankees should hit for a little bit of power here. It's a warm night at Kauffman Stadium. I'm in the fade Noah Cameron train. I like the Yankees first five team total over 2.5.
All right. Adam Burke, VSiN.com with us. Hey, let's talk about Lance McCullers for a minute, little bit here. Rough outing against the Reds a few weeks ago. He's had a couple of really bad starts, but it looks like McCullers has recaptured his form here, and he's capable of some big strikeout games. Astros minus 175 against the White Sox tonight. Low price in the market, minus 165, total of 7.5. Anything you looked to play in the White Sox-Astros game?
Well, I think it'll be interesting to see how he does from a swing and miss standpoint, because of late here, for whatever reason, Chicago's been better about making contact, and they've actually been pretty good at drawing walks here too. And McCullers is a guy throughout the course of his career who does end up having some walk issues. So even though he's facing what certainly appears to be a well below average lineup in a lot of ways, and that's absolutely what the White Sox are, I don't know how deep McCullers will go into this game, because I think there's a very realistic chance here that he winds up with a lot of deep counts. You know, they'll foul some balls off with two strikes, stuff like that. I'm kind of interested in under 16.5. At the same time, if the stuff is as good as it has been in some of his other starts, he may just blow Chicago away. But this is a guy that, you know, it's kind of almost Robbie Ray-esque based on what we've seen here through his first six starts, where he's going to give up some home runs. He's going to get a lot of swings and misses and strikeouts, but he's also going to walk a lot of guys. So it's tough, I think, to lay big numbers with him just because, you know, he will give up the long ball and some of those walks may be on base when he does so. But at the same time, I mean, the strikeout upside and capability is really, really impressive. So that's the one thing I would look at here. I mean, 24 1/3 over six starts. It's about four innings per start. And as you mentioned, his first start was horrific. So I could see under 16.5 outs coming through in this one, but not a play that I made, just something that I think could be a good way to attack the game.
Interesting. Yeah, McCullers 27 strikeouts in 16 innings in his last three starts, and he gave up seven runs in the first inning against the Reds on May 10th. But since then, he's been much, much better. Where do you stand on the West Sacramento A's right now? Because they went 1-20 over a 21-game stretch, and we all said, man, we should be betting against this team every night. A's tonight play the Angels in Anaheim, and Soriano minus 165.
Yeah, so the thing that's really tough for a team like Oakland here, or Sacramento, excuse me, is that, you know, Jose Soriano is a guy who throws really, really hard. So This was a game that I looked at today. I thought about maybe taking Sacramento just because I thought this line was a little bit high on Soriano, and this line's just continued to run out here throughout the course of the day. I think a big part of it is when you look at the Athletics' offensive performance on the road against pitchers that throw 97-plus, which Soriano sits about 98 with the fastball, they're like a bottom five offense. And I wanted to put in the road qualifier because we know that the ballpark there in Sacramento has been a really, really good venue for hitting. So I wanted to see what they've done on the road against high velocity, and it hasn't been good. So it was something that took me off of taking the Athletics here today. But I mean, this is a team that honestly, I would expect them to play better on the road as we go forward because they seem miserable in their home park. Severino's been terrible in Sacramento. Jeffrey Springs has been awful pitching at Sutter Health Park as well. I think they're a better bet on the road. But like I said, I mean, against high velocity, they haven't done well this season. So I couldn't take them today, but I am going to watch them on their road trips and see if maybe there's a chance to get them where a line's a little bit inflated.
Our managing editor of VSiN.com, Adam Burke, joining us here courtesy of our Progressive Guest Line. He's got his column up. He does it every single day on VSiN.com, looking at his favorite plays of the MLB card, a game that you do also have on your card. Looks like first pitch in about 25 minutes or so. Toronto at St. Louis. We've seen some market movement here. Toronto opened the favorite. Now they're around plus 109 here at Circa. So what do you make of this line move, and who are you interested in St. Louis? Is Toronto tonight?
Yeah, so this one's a little unfortunate. And, you know, with the timing of putting the article out in the morning, you know, there's some things that I don't really know how they're going to play out. And one of them here today is Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is not in the lineup for Toronto. So that's why this line has continued to run a little bit here throughout the course of the day. I still like them, you know, at a plus money price here. I kind of like it even more than, you know, the minus 103 that I got it at earlier today. Miles Michaelis is not good. I mean, he's just not a good pitcher. Pitches to a ton of contact. Strikeout rate is down this year. Walk rate is up a little bit this year. He can work around it at times, but still, he's very, very dependent on luck and a lot of good batting average on balls and play success. Chris Bassett gets more swings and misses. He's been better throughout the course of the season altogether. And the other thing here with the Cardinals is Ryan Helsley's blown three straight saves. He is far and away the best reliever on that Cardinals roster. So if he's going to be bad, that's a really big deal for them because I don't trust anybody else in that role or really any of their other high leverage guys. So I think Toronto has the better lineup. They have the better bullpen. They have the better starter. All three of those things in an underdog role, I got to take that. So I like Toronto here tonight against the Cardinals.
All right. Very thorough breakdown. How about our VSiN primetime game of the night? Dodgers Padres. It was 8-7 and 10 innings last night. Trevino is going to start a bullpen game for the Dodgers. Dylan Cease for the Padres at minus 108.
Yeah, these bullpen games are just, they're really, really hard to nail down. You know, I mean, as you said, Trevino's going to start. You don't really know who's going to follow him. They just called up a guy in Matt Sauer from AAA. Maybe he's the guy that's expected to work some bulk here tonight. Tanner Scott and Kirby Yates, their closer and their high leverage setup guy, have both worked back-to-back nights. It's a big ask of the Dodgers pitching staff here tonight. At the same time, I mean, who wants to, you know, lay a price against the Dodgers given the fact that they're not underdogs all that often? So San Diego's also been really bad offensively for a while. I don't think a whole lot of people have noticed, but they've really struggled with the bats for quite some time now. No play for me in this one, but if I had to lean one way or the other, I think despite the, you know, concerns with the high leverage guys, the Dodgers probably would end up finding a way more often than not. So I think it's the value side, but not a bet for me.
Look, he's a jack of all trades, folks. He's going to be working hard on our NFL guide here coming up a little bit, college football guide, and he's got a column up right now previewing the U.S. Open over at VSiN.com. So in our final 2 minutes, Adam, with you, who are you looking at Oakmont? Is today the theme on this show, whole lot of U.S. Open preview. So what do you got for us for the U.S. Open?
So we wanted a Monday article up on the U.S. Open over at VSiN.com. I didn't want to step on Wes Reynolds' toes because he does such a phenomenal preview picking all of his outrights on Tuesdays. And that is up over there for you to check out now at VSiN.com. So I wanted to look at some placement market stuff, a first round leader prop, and then also some things that I think are really important statistics here for this week at the U.S. Open. Obviously, we know all of the talk has been about the rough and how brutal it is. So driving accuracy is really important. But you've got some long par fives and two very long par fives and some long par fours on this course. So I think you want to look at guys that are pretty good with their longer irons, approaches from greater than 200 yards, a stat that I think is worth looking at here. You know, fairway proximity, if you get it in the short grass, how close are you on that approach shot? Approach putt performance on some pretty fast and large green complexes. So one guy that I do like here this week for a top 20 bet, and this is in the plus 600, plus 650 range. Shop around as always. Emiliano Grillo is a guy that I think kind of fits this course pretty well. His wedge play has been really, really good. He's fifth in three-putt avoidance, which I think is something valuable here. 40th in fairway proximity. So if he puts it in the fairway, he's going to give himself at least a chance at some birdie putts or maybe have some very makeable par tap-ins where par is going to be a really, really good score here at Oakmont this weekend. So I think Grillo plus 650, top 20 is interesting. About 18 to 1 on a top 10, I think is pretty interesting as well. And one other guy that I think for first round leader is really worth a look, and that's Daniel Berger at 75 to 1. Mm-hmm. His strokes gained stats are really good. He's just a bad putter. So if he putts well for 18 holes, I got a shot with that one in the first round.
Adam, always appreciate it, man. Best of luck.
Have a good one, guys.
There he is, our guy Adam Burke, managing editor of VSiN.com. Let's jump into Matt's U.S. Open card on the other side of the break.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Alongside Matt Humans, I'm Tim Murray. It is VSiN Primetime, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. Underway and a bunch of baseball, handful of games to get going here. We just heard from Adam Burke, a couple of best bets he likes. He likes Yankees first five over 2.5 runs, and he also likes the Blue Jays, even though, as mentioned, they will not have Vlad Guerrero Jr. in the lineup tonight. Matt, quick updates from a couple of our games. The Orioles have tied things up with the Detroit Tigers. And during that first inning, we saw a two-run homer for the Washington Nationals off of Mr. Canning there. Nathaniel Lowe, two-run shot. And then Mackenzie Gore struck out Juan Soto on three pitches. So 2-0 Nationals, top of the second inning against the New York Mets. So a lot going on tonight in Major League Baseball. We'll get some thoughts on the NBA Finals, of course, as the show goes on, Matt. Coming up top of the hour, we'll talk to Jeff Sherman from the Westgate Superbook. But I know you mentioned it to start the show. You've been putting in some bets for the U.S. Open, which gets underway Thursday morning in Oakmont, Pennsylvania. Very challenging course. So who are some golfers that you are eyeing up for your card this week?
I've got a decent card here so far. It's going to be a lot longer by the time I get to Wednesday night, Thursday morning. But right now I've got Bryson DeChambeau top five at plus 160. DeChambeau right now to win is like 7-1 or plus 750. I don't want to bet him to win at that price. I'm thinking maybe if he gets off to a slow start in the first round, he could grab him at 10-1, 12-1, 15, who knows, a little bit better price. So I just played DeChambeau top five for right now. He's, aside from Scottie Scheffler, I think DeChambeau is clearly the number two power rated golfer in this field. It's not Rory, it's DeChambeau this week. Ludvig Åberg, 24-1. That's how I played on him so far. Shane Lowry, 33-1, and top five at plus 525. I like Lowry's chances to win this tournament. And that's why I also played him at top five.
Can I stop you there? I'm just curious about Shane Lowry. What about Shane Lowry in this course intrigues you? Because you're not the only one. I've seen a couple of folks out there intrigued by Shane Lowry to win this outright, looking at the top five. You can get plus money on him to finish top 20, which that certainly looks appealing. So what about Shane Lowry at Oakmont that intrigues you?
Yeah, I thought top 20 was a little bit too easy. I wanted to go for a little bit better score here. In case Lowry has been knocking on the door in a bunch of tournaments recently. And that's why I think you bet him top five or top 10, just in case he's the bridesmaid again. To Scottie Scheffler, you know, you got to play some of these top fives and tens because Scheffler might just win the tournament. And you don't want to be SOL. But I've got Lowry top five at plus 525. And here's the deal. Last time the U.S. Open was played at Oakmont in 2016, do you know who the 54-hole leader was?
Shane Lowry
by four strokes. He ended up finishing second in that tournament. But again, this is a guy who excels on the tougher golf courses. And that's why I'm looking at players here like Lowry and Matt Fitzpatrick. European players who can score on the toughest layouts with the thickest rough. Lowry is one of these guys. He's actually had top 10s, Bay Hill, Pebble Beach. Pebble Beach was some poor weather conditions as well. Last week, he had four rounds in the 60s. At TPC Toronto, and he's just been knocking on the door. And course history means a lot to me, too, because when I say the 2016 U.S. Open at Oakmont, he was a 54-hole leader by four strokes. That's significant. So you're getting a guy, the price was as high as 45-1 before, I believe, if you caught it last week, 33-1 right now here at the circuit. So Lowry, 33-1 in top five, probably also play him top 10 before it's over. Lowry, by the way, has played in 12 U.S. Opens. He's made the cut eight times. He's got a pretty good record in this major. Cameron Young, why not? Arrow's pointing up. He's playing better. He's probably not going to win, but he's a 115-1. You know, I finished second with Cameron Young three times at 100-1 and 120-1 twice. 100-1 once, 120-1 twice. Got him 115-1 here. I'll probably finish second. But that's okay. That would put me in a position where I could hedge and make something off it at 115-1. Anyway, Matt Fitzpatrick, this is kind of my sleeper this week. Fitz is a former U.S. Open champ. And that means something, too, because the U.S. Open or the British is going to be the toughest of your majors. Fitzpatrick won this major in 2022. And here's the key. He has made 10 U.S. Open appearances. He's made the cut nine times. So I think he's going to keep you in the game here. 125-1 and top 20 at plus 300. Also played one matchup, and that's Lowry plus 112 over Colin Morikawa. And Morikawa in that tournament last week, or it was 2 weeks ago, in the tournament, Morikawa was tied for first and then lost 10 strokes over the next 24 hours. I don't think he's tough enough mentally right now to handle what he's going to run into at Oakmont, and I think Shane Lowry is. So we're going Lowry plus money over Morikawa in a matchup. Outrights, Ludvig Åberg, Shane Lowry, Cameron Young, Matt Fitzpatrick, top five DeChambeau, top five Lowry, top 20 Fitzpatrick. And like I said, I'm going to add some stuff to this card by tomorrow and certainly by Thursday, but that's what I've got right now. Tim, the thing is with Scottie Scheffler, you're trying to figure out how can I bet Scheffler?
Yeah.
Because if he wins, you got to have something here. Scheffler right now at about 3-1. I'm not going to play that. You want to play him top five minus 140? I'm not sure. I'm actually just not sure what I'm going to do with Scheffler at this point. I've also got a bunch of other players here I'm considering, like Harris English, and give you some other names. Keegan Bradley, which I think could be a sleeper this week. And they haven't made the card yet, but probably will by tomorrow.
Matt Fitzpatrick, by the way, now 135-1 here at Circa. So a little bit of movement outwards there on a long bomb. Yeah, 135-1.
I bet it right before the show at 125-1, and they bumped it up to 135-1.
That's what my app says right now, 135-1 on Matt Fitzpatrick. And Scottie Scheffler, by the way, has moved out a little bit, as you alluded to. It's now 3-1 for Matt Fitzpatrick, or for Matt Fitzpatrick, for Scottie Scheffler to win the U.S. Open. We're not yet to Tiger territory, but man.
It's getting close.
It is getting close, isn't it?
Scottie's been dominant. As I said, he's, for the first time in 20 years, we have a Tiger Woods-like player on tour and in these majors, because right now you have a yes-no price on Scottie. You can lay, think about this, with a 154-player field, I think that's what it is, 154. You can bet the no on Scottie Scheffler at minus 380. I mean, this Tiger was in this territory. I remember Tiger was in the territory of like minus 200 at one point back in the day.
On the no price?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Scheffler right now minus 380, but he's tough to bet against. The thing is, I think this is going to be a very unpredictable tournament, because if you're not driving it and finding fairways, you're going to be in the rough and you could be in big trouble. I really believe that when we're talking about this Friday night, we're going to be talking about some big names that are going to miss the cut for the weekend here. And it wouldn't shock me if Rory McIlroy is one of those big names who misses the cut. McIlroy's been he was really bad last week in Toronto. And I just don't think his head's in the game right now. After he won the Masters, he kind of lost the edge. But there are going to be some big-name guys like that who missed the cut. I'll tell you who else I've considered playing is Joaquin Niemann, who's been on fire on the LIV Tour. And Niemann's a player I've liked going back 3 or 4 years. But that's another guy I give a look to this week. Sam Cooney, the Circus Sports golf odds maker, tells me Xander Schauffele's been taking some sharp money. And also Harris English, very popular, but the price now is down from 85-1 to like 60-1, so it's a little late to get in on Harris English.
By the way, you mentioned make or miss the cut odds and Rory McIlroy. Last night at DraftKings, we'll ask Matt Grill about this in the second hour of the show, Matt. He was 3-1 to miss the cut, and he's now down to plus 250 at DraftKings, plus 245 here at Circa. So certainly there are some folks out there thinking that Rory McIlroy could struggle in Oakmont coming
missed the
off
cut
of that.
Last week.
And wasn't even close.
Wasn't even close. Yeah. He was terrible last week in Toronto. So maybe he was looking ahead to the U.S. Open, didn't really care. Sometimes guys don't mind missing the cut the week before a major. It gives them more time to prep for the major. But I just don't think when you listen to Rory talk, and I watch the Golf Channel today, he's just not really clued into it right now. Doesn't really care. Doesn't have the same hunger. The desire, the hunger is not there after he accomplished a career grand slam. You know, it's kind of human nature just to kick back. I don't think he's got the killer instinct like Tiger Woods.
Hey, folks, as you know, the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup are here, and ProfitX is offering the best odds all playoffs long. ProfitX is a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40-plus states, the first of its kind in the U.S. You'll be able to make your sports picks against other groups of fans rather than against sportsbooks. Exchange rates guarantee you the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. Even request your own odds. Go ahead and download ProfitX today and use the promo code VSIN, that's V-S-I-N, to earn up to $200 in profit cash over your first month. A whole lot of U.S. Open preview for you here on the program today. We'll start it coming up at 8 o'clock Eastern. Jeff Sherman at Golf Odds from the Westgate Superbook will join us. We'll talk to Matt Grill from behind the counter at the DraftKings Sportsbook. And live from Oakmont, Pennsylvania, Steve Sands of the Golf Channel. He'll jump on the program at 9:30. An absolutely loaded show for you. And tomorrow night, Matt, we get Game 3 of the NBA Finals. Will the Pacers bounce back after a loss in Game 2? We'll discuss next right here on VSIN Primetime.
This is VSIN Primetime on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is VSIN Prime Time here on this Tuesday evening. Getting ready for the U.S. Open, which starts on Thursday. Game 3 of the NBA Finals tomorrow night, Matt. and game four of the Stanley Cup final on Thursday evening. Impressive performance yesterday by the Florida Panthers, 6-1. Dominant performance by the Panthers over the Oilers. You had a little pre-flop, never in doubt, Panthers victory yesterday.
I did, but I also have an Oilers series bet, and basically what that Florida Panthers bet did for me last night was cover that. So I just got a bad feeling about the Oilers in the series. You said impressive performance by the Panthers. I thought it was a depressing performance by the Oilers, because you're coming off the overtime loss at home in game two. You go to South Florida and just turn in a mistake-riddled performance, Tim. Very sloppy last night.
Tons of penalties.
How many power plays and penalties did the Panthers pile up last night, because the Oilers were just so undisciplined? Sloppy and undisciplined hockey is not going to get you very far, especially against a good team in the Stanley Cup final. And it almost feels like the Oilers are doomed to repeat the past. Like, they're going to lose to the Panthers 2 years in a row. I didn't have a good feeling coming out of game two. That's why I bet the Panthers yesterday. I don't have a good feeling going into game four about what Edmonton's looking at here down the road.
21 penalties by the Oilers last night.
Now, some of those were the results of fights and things like that at the end. But again, I think when you and I were on the air at one point, we were talking about, well, Panthers are now on their eighth power play.
Uh-huh.
It's just ridiculous how bad the Oilers were last night. And I just don't know if they can get this cleaned up. See, the Panthers are the better defensive team. There's no doubt about it. Better goalie, better defensive team. And all that stuff, all those flaws that the Oilers have were exposed last night.
Over his hit now in all three games, Matt. It was late, but ultimately the Panthers were able to get it.
It was about 4 minutes ago.
Yeah, that would have been a bad beat for anyone who had over 6.5, because you got a goal less than a minute into the game. It was a dominant performance from the Panthers, and they do get that late goal. 6-1 was the final score last night. So right now at Circa, Florida, a -143 favorite Thursday night, and the total sits at 6.5, juiced under. Depending on where you look, -120, -125 is the juice to the under here at Circa, -123 for game four of the Stanley Cup
final. I don't know if this is fair, Tim. Sometimes you overreact, but when I was watching game two and it was tied 4-4, it was going to overtime. Mm-hmm. I said, if the Oilers win this game, I think they're going to win the series. And the way they lost the game 5-4 in overtime that night, I said, now I think they're going to lose the series. I don't know if that's fair or an overreaction or what, but I felt like if they went up 2-0 in the series and won that game, I thought they were going to win the Stanley Cup. They lost that game, and I just got a feeling they're going to lose the cup again.
So I'm glad you brought that up, because the more I thought about tomorrow night for the NBA, the more I came to the conclusion that I think tomorrow is pivotal for the Indiana Pacers. Sure. I just get a gut feeling that if they lose tomorrow night, Matt, I think it's over in five. And I know last night I said, I'm going to bet whoever loses in game three and game four. We'll see how tomorrow plays out, but I just get this sneaky suspicion that tomorrow is so vital for the Pacers. And you might be saying, well, yeah, of course, Captain Obvious. It's a 1-1 series. You're headed back home. Nah, you could split those games, keep it alive. I felt like the way that game two unfolded, and really when you look back at game one, and it was, I wouldn't say dominated, but it was controlled by the Thunder for 44 minutes or so. I feel like tomorrow night, the Pacers, if they're going to have a shot in this series, they've got to win this game. They're catching five right now at most shops here. We talked a lot about this game last night. What's your feel on tomorrow night? Are you going to be looking to back the Pacers as a 5.5-point home dog against the Thunder?
I've already bet it. I took 5.5 with the Pacers last night. And my plan here is to bet the Pacers in games 3 and 4. But if they win game 3, I'm not going to bet the Pacers in game 4. I come back with OKC. So what you're saying here, I definitely see where you're coming from. Because I believe if the Pacers win game 3, they got a legit chance to win this whole series.
Totally agree.
Because then doubt's going to creep into the mind of the Thunder. Pacers playing with house money. They're up 2-1. They got another home game. Chance to put the Thunder in a 3-1 hole before they go back to OKC. And that's a strong home court, too. You know, OKC's got a strong home court advantage. So do the Pacers. And I think Indianapolis is going to be rocking for that game 3. And that's why I think the Pacers played Sunday night's game without much of an edge. To me, they played that game like it was a regular season game. It didn't matter. They just got their butts kicked. They're down 59-41 at halftime, and it looked like they were playing with no edge, little motivation, no urgency. And it was pretty disappointing, I thought, their performance. And some of that's Tyrese Halliburton, too. He, after a big game, he turns into a ghost too often, and that's what happened in Game 2 on Sunday night. I think it's going to be a different story for Game 3. And if the Pacers, there are two edges they have in this series we talk about over and over again. Three-point shooting is number one. The Pacers absolutely have to win the three-point shooting battle if they're going to have a chance in this series or win one of these two or both of these games in Indianapolis. They made 18 threes and shot 46% from three in Game 1. That's going to win you a lot of games. They shot 14 for 40 from three in Game 2. They need to shoot 40-plus percent, knock down 15 or more threes to have a chance to beat OKC, because Thunder, pretty mediocre three-point shooting team. In fact, going into the finals, 33.6%, and the Pacers were at 40%. That's a big disparity. The other edge the Pacers have is coaching with Rick Carlisle. And the deeper you get into the series and the more coaches make adjustments, these series are all about adjustments. The better coach should have an edge. We're going to see what sort of adjustments Carlisle makes here in Game 3. And that's where I think the Pacers have their two edges. They've got to win. If they win Game 3, they got a real shot to take down this NBA title. But you're right. If the Pacers lose Game 3, they're in trouble. They got their backs to the wall now. Then they just have to salvage a split at home. They give home court advantage back to OKC. And that's why I think this Game 3 Wednesday night is going to be a great one.
Yeah, I do think. I think it's going to be good. I would be on Pacers plus the points or pass. I think ultimately I will pass. Look, these NBA finals, all these NBA postseason games. I mean, think about the opportunity we had in Game 1 to bet this Pacers team from an in-game standpoint. All the double-digit numbers, the lopsided money lines that were out there. I don't usually jump into the player prop pool all that often, Matt, but I think the way I'm going to look at it, we talked about it briefly yesterday. You just mentioned it. Tyrese Halliburton's a very sharp kid, he's hearing it. He knows that he's got to step up more, right? What's the talk? Hey, if you're a superstar, you got to do more. And it's a really challenging matchup going up against this elite defense of the Oklahoma City Thunder. He's back at home, Matt. We've seen the moments this postseason. I get it. We saw it in Game 1 from a great shot standpoint, but the stats haven't been there. 14-6 in Game 1, 17-6, and let's be honest, that was more late fourth quarter kind of stat padding type of stuff. I think we get a really good Tyrese Halliburton performance, and the way I'm going to play it, I'm going to go over 25.5 points and assists. Minus 120 at DraftKings right now. I think that's the way I'm going to play. I expect Tyrese Halliburton. I don't want to say he's going to press it, Matt, but I think we're going to get a more aggressive Tyrese Halliburton.
Oh, there's no question.
Because we talked about it on the show yesterday. The aggressive nature just wasn't there. And I know at times that's not who he is, but he is the leader of this team. He's the best player on this team. And I think you see a pretty strong performance from him, both from a facilitating standpoint and a scoring standpoint. And what's interesting, too, Matt, when you look at his stats, a lot of the games this postseason, when he has high scoring totals, he also has high assist numbers as well. It kind of gets him to the groove. So I'm going to go over 25.5 points and assists tomorrow night.
I think you're on the right track there. I think you got to combine the points and assists, because I would imagine he's going to have double-digit assists. Pacers need guys. It's not just Halliburton. They need guys like Aaron Nesmith, T.J. McConnell, Benedict Mathurin. Those guys need to step up and play really well, too. But I want to see Halliburton play with the Larry Bird attitude. And when I say that, Bird used to stare down guys and say, you can't stop me. You can't bleep and stop me. Right? And you have to have that attitude that nobody can stop you. I think too often, you know, guy Halliburton will defer to, hey, this OKC defense really shut me down. Not much I can do. You can't have that attitude. You got to take the Larry Bird badass attitude that nobody can stop me. And I think that's the way he's going to play in Game 3.
Yeah, you look at some of his numbers, Matt, from New York in the Eastern Conference Finals. 20-7, 32-15, 21-13. Those were his points and assist totals at home. I get it. Comparing the Knicks defense to the Thunder defense doesn't belong in the same sentence. But I do think you see a strong performance from Tyrese Halliburton. Matt, coming up top of the hour, we'll talk to our guy Jeff Sherman. I'm sure he's got some thoughts on Game 3 of the NBA Finals. draws, as well as plenty on the U.S. Open. But just a reminder, VSiN fans, if you're looking to play Circa Survivor or Circa Millions for free this year, Winner's Circle Proxy is giving away one free $1,000 entry to each of those contests, plus full proxy service. So enter now for your chance to win. Just visit winnercircleproxy.com/VSIN. That's winnercircleproxy.com/VSIN. Jeff Sherman, he joins us next right here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.